the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Everybody's full of hope and promise. Everybody's excited about their season. But by January, by February, what would mark fulfillment? What would be a successful season for your NFL team? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776 on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, where you can tell me what's a successful season for your team. We just reviewed Nuno's Guilty Pleasure, The Last Dragon. Got several votes. We will tally up our votes by the end of the show as we continue to review each other's guilty pleasures. Coming up next in the next segment will be Bubba's Freddy Got. People continue to ask me on social media, why are you guys beeping that out? It's not a curse word. That it could literally mean blaming someone for a crime, but what we know is, in context, that ain't what happened in this movie.
If you watch the movie, you know.
Something that we do have to beep out. So
it can mean that.
It can.
It doesn't.
No. When we tell you we're going to review Freddy Got.
There it is.
Gosh.
Really,
we
got it
mean
twice.
Literally. We mean literally Freddy Got. Coming up in just a moment here on The Will Cain Show. Plus, what is a successful outcome for your NFL team in just moments? But let me go to the Shell Penzo Performance Line where some people want to get in on the conversations we've been having. First, Eric in Tennessee. I asked, or I gave you, the top five players whose legacy is on the line, and Eric wants to get in on it. What's up, Eric?
I agree with most of it, probably all of it, but I think your honorable mention has to be Chris Paul, only because as long as he's been in the league, I think his bar might be low. Like, if he makes it to a conference final, I think that might be, I don't know, the bee's knees or something like that. It might be an extreme accomplishment if he takes that OKC team anywhere late in the playoffs. But a thing about The Last Dragon, I think one of my favorite movies, actually, is that the whole soundtrack is one of the best soundtracks out there, but it's kind of like the movie Goonies. If you see it too later in life, you don't get it. You're probably offended by a lot of things that's in it. But as a kid, I think someone mentioned it, when you see that movie as a kid, it's one of the best things ever. You got Bruce Lee. You got the special effects. It's a great movie, everything about it.
And, Eric, you always want to get in on these topics that we have, these sensitive topics, societal topics. I have to ask, out of curiosity alone, where are you on some of the conversation we had on Bubba Wallace and the search for truth?
I think what you're saying, what I heard you say earlier, is a legitimate point. You have to seek the truth. You have to look at it from all angles. You can't just immediately come to a conclusion. However, the issue that I think happens is that, you know, I respect you as a human being. I respect you as a man. I think you're asking those questions for the right reasons. But we know what's going to happen is that people are going to ask the questions for the wrong reasons, to dismiss the fact that it happened. And it's really hard to stop that from happening. And that's always going to be the problem. Like, you're asking for the right reasons, and I agree, you have to be able to completely dismiss the fact that there was anything that wasn't malicious. You have to try to dismiss it. That's the only way you can actually determine if it was a malicious act, is to dismiss the fact that it wasn't malicious, right? But some people are going to take it and say, definitely, it was a hoax, and they're just going to run with it and ignore all the information, and that's where the danger is.
No doubt. I appreciate the call, Eric. You have to ask questions in sincerity, not in pursuit of a particular outcome. You can't ask them with malevolence. You got to ask them out of you know, devotion to the truth. And that's all I ask. To Eric's other 2 points, Chris Paul, I did not include in my guys whose legacy's on the line for this 2020 season because I just simply didn't think the Thunder had a realistic chance at all to win the NBA title, and therefore can't hurt his legacy should he fail to, but it could definitely bolster it mightily if they somehow pulled it off. I just don't think the Thunder are real title contenders. And finally, on The Last Dragon, we'll talk about this more a little bit later in the show when we review my movie, North Shore. I tend to gravitate towards non-slapstick, non-punchline humor. I gravitate towards contextual humor. That's why I like The Big Lebowski, character-based humor. And there's something quaint and funny and almost self-aware about those 80s movies that are cheap and poorly done, but yet know who they are. I find that their lines are funnier. We'll get to that a little bit later when we talk about some of the other movies here on The Will Cain Show. Real quick, Aaron in New Jersey. What's up, Aaron?
Hi, Will. How are you?
Hey, man.
So I'm actually really excited to be on the line with you. I've actually been watching you since back on the days with the Blaze. And, you know, I really wanted to say a couple of things. You know, I've really appreciated the tone of your show these past couple of weeks. Couple of things that I wanted to mention that I do appreciate: the open conversation, the thoughtful discussions, the challenging viewpoints and atmosphere on the show. And it's been a challenge to me that watching a lot of other media outlets and even on ESPN, there just doesn't seem to be much thought diversity on you know, any sides of the spectrum with a lot of these issues. You know, watching Get Up, Max Kellerman, just kind of the same story over and over again repackaged. I do appreciate Stephen A. a lot, though. And, you know, when I listen to things, I just want to be challenged. And some of the takes you had on cancel culture and stuff, I just really, really appreciate where you're coming from on a lot of these things, the search for truth and the conversation that we should be having.
Thank you, Aaron. I truly appreciate it. I appreciate you paying attention to me throughout my career, staying in, staying connected. The connection is, outside of this pursuit of the truth, the connection with my audience in that open forum is the most important thing to me. And those are values that aren't going anywhere, except with me, everywhere I go. I'm not leaving them anywhere behind. I appreciate everyone, and I appreciate the call. All right, what's a successful season for your NFL team? Again, everybody's full of hope. The only time each fan base is more full of hope is right before the NFL draft. But now, as we approach, potentially here, the start of the season, everybody's got big expectations. What's a realistic outcome for your season? Like, not setting yourself up for massive disappointment. As I thought about it, and this doesn't speak for every single team in the NFL, but it does speak for most, I thought about three categories, okay? First, these are teams who, yes, need to make the playoffs, perhaps need to be above 500, definitely need to improve on last year, but most importantly need clarity at the quarterback position. They need to know they got their guy moving forward. Some of them might already know this, but it's got to turn into tangible win-loss growth. These are teams like the Arizona Cardinals, the Buffalo Bills, the Cleveland Browns, and the Denver Broncos. No Drew Lock, Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Kyler Murray are your foundational piece. Know it as it translates into a record better than you had a year ago, possibly plus 500. In some cases with the Browns and the Bills, definitely make the playoffs. That's going to be a successful season. Now, here's what I find fascinating. Just like I was talking about the NBA in the first segment of the show today, we've been talking about this for a couple of months now. The NFL, especially the NFC, wide open. So I think you have a good, what is this going to be, 12 teams, 10 teams that need to make the title game, NFC or AFC championship games, not the Super Bowl. Make it to the Final Four or it will be a failure. Tell me if you disagree with this. The Cowboys have to be in the NFC championship game. The Packers have to be in the NFC championship game. The Eagles, the Bucks, the Seahawks, the Vikings. That's a lot of NFC teams that if they fall short, even divisional round, it's going to be a disappointment. Maybe you could say the Cowboys come in, Mike McCarthy wins one playoff game, gets the divisional round. But I'm going to tell you, even at that, it's going to be a little bit of a letdown. Man, not failure, but letdown. Think about the AFC. I think the Titans have to return. I think the Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger have to be there. I think the Colts on their one-year Phillip Rivers run have to get the AFC title game. I think the Texans aren't going to be happy with simply one playoff win. I think those are teams that need to be in their conference championship game. You take all those now, and you add these four teams who will be a failure if they're not in the Super Bowl. The Ravens, the Chiefs, the Saints, the Niners. If they're not in the Super Bowl, big letdown. You add that up, by the way, and that is 14 teams that if they're not in the Final Four, have, I think, as a fan base, legit letdown, legit sense of, if not failure, disappointment. And for some of these, like the Ravens, it's make the Super Bowl. It's find that your formula and your quarterback are sustainable, that it's going to be year in, year out like this. The Chiefs, it's clear repeat. Saints, it's make it and win it all with Drew Brees. With the Niners, you got to get back to at least where you were. I think you can break the league, at least the ones that have realistic expectations, into those categories. After that, it's going to be teams like the Giants who simply need to find a quarterback. In fact, Chris in Florida, that's it, Chris, right? Just know, no matter what the record is, a successful season for the New York Giants is Daniel Jones is our guy. What do you say to that, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. He needs to keep possession of the ball. That's a successful season for us. I mean, we'll be lucky if he goes 6-10, realistically, with the holes we have in defense right now. If our offensive line has a little cohesion and Saquon Barkley has a bounce back year, that's all I really need to see. And if we beat the Cowboys or the Eagles, either team, one time.
One time. Okay. I just think it's all about Daniel Jones, Chris. I appreciate the call. Real quick, Jonah in Arizona, I would say this, and somebody wrote this online, I agree. Plus 500 for the Cards. And I think you already think Kyler's the guy, but Kyler takes not. He needs to take a step forward. Don't do the Baker Mayfield. Take a step back, and you can celebrate this season.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think if we go 500 this season, I'd say that's a realistic expectation that would make me happy. Like you said, we got Kyler Murray during his second year. We've also got Kingsbury, that duo. He's now his second year as an NFL head coach. And then the additions like DeAndre Hopkins, Isaiah Simmons on defense, I think all these additions need to come together. We need to take that step, become a 500 team, maybe even make the wild card this year.
Yep, that would be gravy. Appreciate the call, Jonah. That would be gravy. 500 team, I agree. Success. No, Kyler takes a step forward. That's the big success. It's that Kyler and Cliff are validated. Buckle up. Let's review Freddie Got next on the Will Cain Show.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, Social Security. Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my Social Security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Round two. In our guilty pleasures, Bubba's up with Freddie Got. It's Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Throughout the show today, we are ranking, reviewing, telling our favorite and least favorite moments from our guilty pleasures. Again, it went like this. Will, North Shore, Bubba, Freddie Got, Nuno, Last Dragon, Pat, Rumble in the Bronx, and Mike A, Vacation, the reboot Vacation. We've already reviewed The Last Dragon. That was in the first hour of the show. Nuno's. We'll have our rankings here at the end of the show, but now Bubba's up. Bubba's movie was Freddie Got, and I watched it first. Everybody cringed for this. In the audience, on the show, I felt the need to repent afterwards. I did think there was probably, I'm not even Catholic, but some Hail Marys that I owed to the greater universe. It's awful. I mean, when I say awful, I mean it is the definition of sacrilege. It is the worst thing probably ever put on film, and I kind of shamefully enjoyed it. Okay, let's go through this. I won't give you mine first. Let's. I think from now on, the guy whose movie it is should go first. Actually, I think after letting Nuno go last, I realized let's let the reviewer, the picker himself, try to persuade the audience. Bubba, go ahead. Your favorite, least favorite, and ranking for your own movie, Freddie Got.
Oh, I don't have it right now. I switched pages. Mike hit it. All right, no one hit it.
Sorry, I had to answer the phone.
All right. Yeah, I mean, it's a completely insane movie. It's completely ridiculous. I would agree with all those things. But the positives are it's funny to me. Certain things are still funny. Back when I watched in high school and college, those things are still funny to me. Japan 4, where's your LeBaron, Freddy? I say Geneva, you hear Helsinki. Don't do it too hard. I have sensitive knees. No, that's little Timmy. All of those things are still great. Tom Green is still funny. He had great lines throughout. There's a lot. I mean, it's still a funny movie.
I hear Geneva. I see Geneva. You hear Helsinki.
You're effing fired, Bob. Clean out your locker at the club, Bob. That whole, all that stuff is funny. He has some funny lines throughout the movie. The bad, conversely, is anything that's over the top involving the animals. I didn't enjoy it in high school. I didn't enjoy it in college. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's over the top, and just completely ridiculous. But
Your ranking?
My ranking, if we're talking about, you know, we're just deciding the break, how we want to decide. You know, I would watch it again. It's not my favorite. It's not number one, but it's not at the bottom. I'd watch it again. I got it number two.
Number two.
Okay.
All right. Okay. No, hold on. Let me go.
You ready to jump in? Okay, Nuno next.
Nuno.
Go, Nuno.
First of all, the only two good things in that movie was poor Timmy. Like, Timmy was like, DCF should have grabbed him because he just kept like.
You just like child endangerment and child abuse?
Poor, that's... And Shaq. And the Shaq
cameo. Shaq cameo.
You know, like he tells. But other than that, first of all, the fact that Tom Green was a thing, like, it's just.
I get it. I kind of get your point. It's true.
It's horrendous. Like, it's a four. And the reason it's a five, because I got someone else that I want to strangle. But it's a four.
Oh, you didn't make it last. Wow.
I will never watch it.
Hey, I'll take it. I'll take a four.
Can I ask Mike A., Pat, and myself, how much insecurity do you have that he is talking about our movie last? Like, I have a high level of insecurity. I bet Mike A. doesn't.
I absolutely do. I am 1,000%
certain that Nuno is talking about my movie.
I have a feeling he's talking about me, but I'm not 100%
sure. I'm pretty
sure
I know where he's talking.
I will tell you this. I was 100% sure walking out of this building yesterday, Nuno was picking Bubba's last. He was going to pick Freddy Got
Last. I kind of thought he was, too.
I was 100% sure.
I agree. I thought that's where he was going, too. So that means he really hated something else because he was dogging this. You go ahead, Mike, on Bubba's movie.
The good... The bad, I mean, middle school Mike wouldn't have found that funny. High school Mike wouldn't have found that funny. College Mike on substances would not have found that funny. And 35-year-old Mike certainly didn't find that funny. It took me 3 days to watch it, and I forced myself. Every time Tom Green spoke, I cringed for everything that we were growing up. I couldn't handle it. It was so disgusting and not funny. Fifth.
Okay. All right, Pat, go ahead.
I went into this having never seen it, very open-minded and hoping that it would be a little bit funny. This was the worst pile of garbage I have ever seen in my entire life. There was nothing at all redeeming about it on any level. Fifth, and I wish I could put it even lower than that.
I agree.
Wow.
I agree with Pat. When was the last time that happened? I agree with Pat.
Right.
Yeah, actually, real quick before you go, Will, like, even though it's fourth, it's probably the last movie I would end up watching. Out
again,
of all of them. Yeah,
if somebody said, you got to watch one of these again, it would be last?
Yeah, there's definitely.
Okay, here's time for me. The good. Daddy, would you like some sausage? Daddy, would you like some sausage?
You thought that was good?
I can't even explain it.
Yes.
It's funny.
Give me a half hour to get through that scene.
Yes.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Yes.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Embarrassing.
You just said I like when a movie doesn't try to be funny. And if I've ever seen somebody try so hard for a giggle in my life than Tom Green,
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
So not funny.
Rip Torn was not pleased.
It's so stupid. It's funny. And Rip Torn, by the way, was funny. Rip Torn was funny. I mean, this movie was not good. It just make no mistake. And I hated it more when I was a kid than I did now. I watched it this time, and maybe because I watched it first and my expectations were so low, I giggled more times than I wanted to admit. Don't get me wrong. I didn't like it. And you want the negative? Swinging the baby around on the umbilical cord and cutting it with his mouth? I mean, killed me.
He was accused of child molestation, and then it was just like, move on.
No, it's a central plot point.
Spoiler alert, come on.
It's a central plot point.
What's the name of the movie? It's Freddy Got...
Now, ranking...
Freddy Got...
Number four.
Oh, wow. Now I'm nervous.
There is somebody below Freddy Got Fingered.
Now I'm really nervous.
Now I'm nervous.
Will just slipped it in there.
No, I did on accident.
Just for that, you're ranking at three.
I will tell you this. If Freddy Got See, you guys got to be on it. If that is on TV, there's a chance I stop for 5 minutes and just see what scene is.
Yep.
And just see what scene is next.
Just to see what sausage is on.
Daddy, would you like some sausage?
Yes.
Oh, stay tuned, because coming up a little bit later in this hour, Pat is up with Rumble in the Bronx in the final hour, mine with North Shore, and Mike's with Vacation. That's all coming up a little later on the Will Cain Show. You should download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. All right, coming up, are coronavirus cases and as rampant in college football as they seem? That's next on the Will Cain Show.
You are the reason why I changed the station. I started listening to classical music. Will Cain, you're garbage. Get out of here.
Don't agree with Will? Not sure how that could happen. Call 888-SAY-ESPN now.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with Geico. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Reports are coronavirus cases are taking up across college football. Is it overstated? Is it understated? How do we know how big the problem is as teams quarantine players, as training camp in Major League Baseball looks under threat, hockey shut down? Where are we on this comeback? It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio. Cole Kublik is of the SEC Network, and he joins on the show Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Cole, I got some questions I want to ask you based off a conversation I had yesterday about choices you would make. But what do you make right now about all the reports of coronavirus positive cases coming up everywhere we look in college football?
I think most of it was expected, Will. I think if you talk to the medical professionals at the majority of these schools, that they would tell you that they anticipated they were going to have not a positive case or two, but they were going to have a lot of positive cases. You bring different kinds of athletes in from different parts of the country. You don't know what they've been exposed to. You don't know exactly what they've been doing, who they've been around. So you take your precautions, but you know, you have to be careful, and you have to anticipate that, you know, guys are going to go do different things even when they do come back. You know, I think the thing that maybe was miscalculated in a lot of this was we heard about the facilities, the staff, the technology, how great it was going to be for them to come back. But I sort of wonder, were we better off having these college football players at home? I mean, what are most 18, 19, 20-year-olds not going to do in a pandemic at home with mom and dad? I mean, they're probably not going to be out late at night. They're not going to be going and partying. They're not going to be trying to go find their girlfriends and do different things that they were doing when they were normally in college. Now you bring them back to campus. They hadn't done those things in 3 or 4 months. And the coaches don't really have any eyes on them after, say, 7 p.m. And I think that's been a problem at a lot of places. So is it more than was anticipated by the medical professionals at most of these schools? I actually don't believe that it has been so far.
I think you're right. I definitely think you're right. And that's kind of been my contention all along. There's going to be a risk assessment and risk balance to this entire thing. It's not going to be a 0% rate. And by the way, it won't be in professional sports either. As people come together and live their lives, you know, people are going to show up positive. The only question then becomes, what do we do? That is a question, Cole, that I think we only ever talk about from a policy, governmental, societal level, business level. But I'm also fascinated by it from an individual level. I drove by the other day, Cole, I'm in Tennessee, and I drove by a high school football stadium, and they were practicing. All the high school kids were out there. I can't say all of them. Some of them chose not to, I would imagine. But a lot of them were out there practicing. And I think at some point, here's the thing. Once we accept there is no 0% rate, we're never going to get there. There's nothing short of total shutdown that's even going to minimize it. I mean, we can reduce it, but really you can get it close. If we're not going to go that way, then we're going to be making individual choices. And at that point, I'm curious, like, would you choose to come back, Cole? Would you choose to play if there was a guy on your team that had it? What about the opponent? Like, where is your individual choice in all of it?
Well, if you're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-old Cole Kublik, I'd have walked 2 hours back to campus to be able to play. to be able to practice, to be able to be a part of my team. It's what I try to explain to people that I think a lot of general fans don't really understand. I think a lot of national media don't understand. Well, you know what 99.9% of college football players want to be? College football players. And they're going to do anything they can to be able to accomplish that. And that doesn't mean dressing out. That doesn't mean working out with the team. That doesn't mean being on kickoff cover. They want to play. They want to start. They want to contribute. And then they want to turn that into going to the league. That's what they want to do. Mm-hmm. So if, and based on the majority of the coaches that I have talked to around the country, this is not just the SEC, but assistant coaches around the country, most of these kids don't think this is that big of a deal. They just don't. I'm not saying that's right. I'm not saying I'm glad they feel that way, but I'm just letting you know 18, 19, 20-year-olds are not walking around thinking that, you know, this is going to be the end of them if they were to come near somebody. And you mentioned seeing those high school kids practice. Go look up some of your favorite college football players on Twitter, on Instagram the last month, month and a half.
Right.
They're out there running routes. They're out there doing one-on-ones. They're out there practicing, working. They're doing ladder drills together. They're running sprints together. This has been, that's been happening. So I think you're right about mitigating the risk. You do the best that you can. The hard part about this is going to be there's not going to be uniform protocol across college football. You can maybe do it within leagues and conferences, but it's not going to, and that's even going to be tough. But mm-hmm. that's not going to happen across college football, and especially the first 2-3 weeks of the season when you don't have interconference play. What are you going up against? What have they been doing?
I've got people, and some of whom I respect, that respond to me, you know, after listening to the show and say, listen, we need to listen to medical experts. I'm like, of course you do, but they're not authoritarian. They don't balance all of the interests. They just balance one of the interests. And that's why I keep coming back to the individual. I've had others say, well, your whole, like, individualism philosophy doesn't apply because you can affect other people. But then my response is, well, then you're talking about a 0% shutdown. At some point,
The other people that you can affect have also made that individual decision.
Yes, so except
so
for
the people who are opposing you are ruled out at that point because
except for if you, know, you go
these,
into
these
somebody's house.
The writers think that the kids are being that somebody's forcing them to go play college football. Somebody's forcing
Agreed.
Them to practice. There's no reality to that. No,
that's right.
Zero.
Everybody's making individual choice. Everybody's making individual choice. You have to respect others' individual choices, right? So don't go to grandma's sure. house. Don't go to this person's house. That's going to be the risk analysis and the self selection you have to have on this. Otherwise, it's 0% shutdown. That's just how it is. It's 0% shutdown, and everybody theoretically involved in college football, including the coaches, are in an opt-in situation. They're all making that risk assessment on their own. Last word, Cole.
I agree with you, and we don't know exactly where we are in this. We don't know exactly where we're going with this, but I think most schools have taken the proper risk precautions when they moved into this, and if you talk to the medical professionals at mm-hmm. each institution, they would tell you that they anticipated about what they've gotten or actually less than they've gotten. Some of these numbers have been inflated. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I know for a fact, this is not my thought or opinion, it is a fact that a lot of these numbers at a lot of schools have been inflated. Now, there are some other schools we hadn't heard anything about that are a lot worse than we believe that they are. But I think when you take two different things and put them together in this instance, there's a lot of people who are covering college football right now, especially online, that are worried about their jobs. Because those jobs are running out, and they're scared, and I get it. And you want to get attention, and you want people to come to your website. I understand that. And we've never covered anything like this before. So the responsibility of how to cover it and the verbiage that you should be using to cover it is not exactly what it needs to be right now. You put those two things together, and that can become a very dangerous headline for a lot of people who are reading it. So the accuracy and the responsibility that's gone a lot with some of this is not what it needs to be, in my opinion.
All right, SEC Network's Cole Kublik here on the Will Cain Show. Really good talking to you, Cole. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Will.
Here's a bit of breaking news. According to Adrian Wojnarowski, along with Brian Windhorst, Nuggets star Nikola Jokic tested positive for coronavirus in Serbia. And his return to the U.S. is temporarily delayed. He's been asymptomatic since testing positive last week. Jokic is expected to be clear to travel to Denver within a week. I just said earlier that Jokic is one of the guys whose legacy is most on the line during this playoffs for the NBA. Coming up, let's review Rumble in the Bronx. Pat's guilty pleasure. It's coming up on The Will Cain Show.
The Will Cain Show.
Drew in Ontario.
You always reference the Lebowski, and you never get any of your references right. So it makes it questionable if you've ever seen the movie. And any of your points are questionable after that.
You're a
More coming up.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with GEICO? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We're still arguing about Bubba's movie. Freddy got... beep. The reason why is the guys are so disappointed I did not vote it last. I put it fourth. Bubba, of course, put his own movie, I believe it was, second. Everybody else on the show put it last. Nuno actually had it fourth, so there's some suspense building as all five number ones of our guilty pleasures are available. First place votes and still 2 fifth place votes are available. Now it's time for Pat to step up to the plate. Pat's guilty pleasure for our review was Jackie Chan's 1993 classic, Rumble in the Bronx. Again, our movies were Bubba, Freddy Got, beep, Will, North Shore, Mike, Vacation, the reboot, Vacation, Nuno, Last Dragon, and Pat, Rumble in the Bronx, which is now on deck. Pat, who really has the inside track on last place movies through all the weeks of our homework over the last several weeks, let's see how he does today with Rumble in the Bronx. The way we're doing this is you get to open it up, Pat. Go ahead and tell us where you ranked your movie, your favorite thing, what you hated about it. Make your case, persuade us on Rumble in the Bronx.
So the biggest negative is that it's completely dubbed and the whole thing sounds pretty ridiculous just from the start of the movie. So that what, but if you can get past that, the action in it and the fight scenes are absolutely incredible. Just tremendous stuff. And the stunts by Jackie Chan are so good. You're never like more than 10 minutes away from something awesome happening in the movie. I had it first. I loved the movie. I really enjoyed watching it.
There goes our first number one.
Yeah, first number one. And your sense of objectivity on this is the negative you point out is the dubbing. That's your self-awareness.
The dubbing's pretty rough, but if you can get past it and look past it as a movie that is made for Hong Kong, basically.
All right, there's your first place vote. Pat gave it to his own movie. Let's go around the horn. I think I'm most interested in Nuno next for Rumble in the Bronx.
So let me start with the bad. And there's a lot of bad. The fact Jackie Chan, bad guy. Like, he starts helping out the young lady who buys the corner store,
right? I thought you meant the actor.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, what did Jackie
do? I was like, what's the dirt on Jackie Chan?
Did we cancel Jackie?
Hold on real quick. I like this even more because I love actually the Empire was the good guys in the Star Wars theories. Have you guys read that? All that stuff? The rebels were actually the terrorists in that. I love the guy that goes deep on these takes. So I want to hear why Jackie Chan's character was actually the bad guy.
I already have a rebuttal.
So he helps her out, right? He defends her. Then obviously that night walking home, spoiler alert, he gets they use him like a home plate, or actually like an outfield, and just start pinging him with those bottles. And then he never goes back to her. He leaves her like
he goes with the hot chick. Yeah, he joins that gang, doesn't he?
Yeah, who set him up? Like, she set him up, and that's who he falls for. And like, that's a bad dude.
And then
he wants to make it like, oh, I'm helping Danny. Like, I'm helping little Danny. Like, that's what he's doing.
It was his uncle's shop, and he sold the shop. He didn't owe her anything. He was just doing her a favor.
He was helping her. He was planning on being there the whole week.
That's why he came to America for that one little stretch to tide him over for his honeymoon, Pat.
Yeah, he went for the wedding. Yeah, he went
and
to help
he
out.
Said, I'm going to hang out for a week. I'm going to help you for a week. And when she
knew what she was getting into buying that shop.
Pat, he has a point. If you really pull out the aperture here, what you see is Jackie Chan ended up joining the gang that beat him up several times. He fell in love with their main squeeze girl. And this movie used the kid in the wheelchair just like Freddy got beep as essentially a tool to you know, I don't know if it's for laughs that he was there, but to win you over on Jackie Chan.
And that being said, though, I have a number three.
Wow, okay.
I would have bet money he had it fifth.
So Nuno still has one in five. Nuno has one in five available for me and Mike A. Okay.
Wow.
Bubba. All right, go ahead, Bubba.
Oh, man. I would have bet anything that was going to be fifth from Nuno.
Pick up the pace.
All right. The good, Jackie Chan doing all of his stunts. That was a positive.
Incredible.
Yeah. The bad, I would say probably everything else.
I don't know about
the fact that it's a movie set in the Bronx, filmed in Vancouver with mountains in the background. The dubbing.
Well, who hasn't gone to the Bronx hover park?
The dubbing was absurd. I got my 1, 2, and 3 movies or movies I'd watch again. 4 and 5 is the cutoff. 4 and 5, I would never watch again. And this is 4, never watching again. Done.
And you put Last Dragon at 5, Bubba?
Correct.
Earlier?
Don't ever want to see either one again.
Okay.
Bubba couldn't ready yet, too. So.
As much as I want to give Mike A next, I think I'm going to make Mike A the culmination of this one because of his love of Pat. So here I go. Rumble in the Bronx. I agree. It took me a long time to get to this point to go, you know what? There's a lot of really impressive stunts going on here. And not just stunts, like the filming stuff, like driving that truck off the bridge where the beach balls or whatever bounce everywhere. I was like, that really took some doing. They didn't CGI that. I mean, I guess driving that hovercraft all around town. Also, none of it CGI. So I was like, they're really blowing some stuff up, wrecking stuff. That's kind of interesting to me. But this is not my kind of movie. I hate the kung fu movies. I told you that earlier, even though Last Dragon overcame it with its 80s self-awareness. This was just – what you love about it, Pat, is what I don't like about it. Just fight scene, fight scene, fight scene. Very little plot development. Very – no character development. Just, you know, just ridiculous fight after ridiculous fight. I'll give you this. It was the last movie I watched. It was 5th, and I had some fatigue. That's true. I do not want to see Rumble in the Bronx again. 5th.
Oh, my God. The hypocrisy is ridiculous.
Wow. 5th?
Considering what you just said about Freddy.
All right.
Jeez.
5th. Let me go quickly here. What I liked, Jackie Chan, he did do his own stunts. They were fantastic. The dialogue, I mean, who hasn't been swayed by a stranger telling a gang, you need to, you know, buck up and be right and
exactly.
Then do it? This was 4th for me. I feel like I've seen all these stunts now 10 times over and better since that movie came out. So none of the stunts really did it for me because I've seen it. It was 4th.
4th. Okay. And you gave your 5th place away as well. So there's a couple of 5ths still left. I think 1 5th and 4 first place votes still to go with North Shore and Vacation to be reviewed in our final hour. He was always high on the intimidation index. Always a friend of the show. Super Bowl champion, New England Patriot, Teddy Bruschi, next on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thank you for listening to The Will Cain Podcast. You can listen to The Will Cain Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Cain Podcast.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.